free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
This is Pete Seeger. Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net for our past lineup of speakers and what we have coming down the pike, and some call-in numbers if you're so inclined, if you're listening live. We have as our guest today, February 11th, 2008, Ahava Amin. He is with New Earth Renewable Energy Incorporated, and they have a product they call EcoClean Coal. This is a 100% biomass-based clean coal. It's a coal equivalent. These pellets do not smoke and produce virtually no pollution, yet they have the same BTU content as coal and are available at a comparable price when all the costs of coal are factored in. Ahava, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sterling. How are you today?
Doing good.
Good, good.
Well, that's an impressive product, and the primary question I'm going to have is the cost competitiveness, because the price per ton is quite high from what an associate at New Energy Congress said. So tell us, first of all, let's talk about this product. How do you make it, and what is its application in the industry?
Well, it actually can be made from a variety of biomass fuel sources that have been grown and produced sustainably. We as a company, we subscribe to 100% sustainability, so I just wanted to make that point. So everything that goes into looking at the cost, are the costs sustainably. So the way we make the product is a process called ecotorrefaction, which is...
Torrefaction, T-O-R, how do you spell that?
That's T-O-R-R-E-F-A-C-T-I-O-N. So it's now we distinguish between torrefaction and ecotorrefaction. Ecotorrefaction is our process, and torrefaction is just the way of taking biomass, heating it up in a chamber that's absent of oxygen, and what happens between certain temperatures, usually about 250 degrees Celsius to 300 degrees Celsius. A separation between the organic volatiles in the biomass itself occurs, and the but because there's no oxygen, the carbon aspect of the biomass it doesn't burn. So you get this separation, and through it you get a very pure form. And a much more usable form of the biomass itself. Now, with ecotorrefaction, what we do is we do obviously a similar process, but it's all sustainably done, and it's also done to higher degrees or better yields. We refunnel the gases. There's a lot of things that's involved in the process to make it 100% sustainable. So torrefaction itself is not sustainable. In fact, they use fossil fuels in the process. Our process, it's all sustainable. It's all renewable energy, and it's a much better product also.
You mentioned that in your process, some of the gases that come off you're using. Mm-hmm. Did I hear that right?
Yes, that is correct. Those are what we call the torrefied gases, and so there's used from everything from actually the powering the operation to helping to continue the cycle of ecotorrefaction with the new biomass as it continues to go through.
For the layperson who may not be totally familiar with biomass, we hear biomass all the time, but define for us what biomass is in general and in how you use it specifically in your context.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. I appreciate that question. A lot of people, as they're becoming more and more familiar with renewable energy and I would say what some of the discussions that we as a planet and a species need to do to really help stem a lot of the global warming activity that's going on, there's a lot of confusion about, biomass, this, that, and the other thing. So again, I really appreciate the question. So biomass itself is really a reference to any type of organically grown or produced material. It could be wood, it could be seaweed, it could be algae, it could be grass, but it's the mass of biological, vegetation, so to speak. So it can refer to really a large range of, of that type of, living species that grows.
And do you pull from that wide range, or are there a specific type of biomass that you're honing in on?
Right. Actually, we do. We do pull from a wide range. As long as it's produced in a sustainable fashion and it is demonstrated that it does not harm or add to the CO2 increase. For example, I'll make give you an example that would clarify this. In Brazil, they grow biomass, say sugarcane, that's the species, to make a biofuel. Now, and the difference between biomass and a biofuel, so biomass is a fuel, but, a lot of times when people say biofuels, it's a liquid form of fuel that they refer to. And so a lot of discussion really does need to be cleared up because I just recently saw an article in the New York Times where there's a lot of confusion going on about, the sustainability of the biodiesels. But, when you say that, then everything gets lumped into that. So things that are absolutely done sustainably from start to finish gets this whole light of, scrutinization put on it, and even to the point of just, sheer cynicism about the whole, process. I think a lot of that's coming out of the fossil fuel camps to, cast aspersion on the activities done. However, there is some, unsavory processes that are going on. We all know about how corn is being used to create biodiesel, which really isn't intelligent, as far as I can see. You see this mad, gold rush to take and divert food crops into biodiesels and things like that. So there are things that are being done correctly and done sustainably in Brazil. Part of the problem is that people are clearing forest lands and planting sugarcane, and all that is clearly shown to add to the negative effects of global warming, even though they're trying to do something, to create a biodiesel and move away from fossil fuels. However, the way they're doing it, clearing the land, which adds to a lot of the CO2 cycles in a disproportionate way, because a lot of the trees that are better stores of carbon are, they're being removed from the cycle. So that's all. I would just make that distinction, that people, and just encourage people to look deeper at it. Don't just, go for the hype or, biodiesel is bad or biomass, but really look at the issues, because a lot of, I would say, energy is being put into confusing the issues. And, human consciousness is so that people just react. And, it's very, very few people you know, I'm sure your listeners are like that, but very, very few people will take and look into and investigate and see and really come to understand the issues. You know, most people just want the quick fix and go on about their lives.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I understand in the biomass world is algae is looking really good, as there's certain types of algae that grow very well and have a high content of fuel and are very economical.
Sure.
Is that something you're looking into?
Well, actually, it's something, you know, that we have looked into. As I was stating earlier, we actually use all forms of biomass. Right now, we're really focused more on what we call short rotation copese or energy crops, but which are grown from a fast-growing wood species that we actually go and we take land that's been, you know, either devastated or, you know, it even could be polluted, and we can restore that environment by planting these types of trees on there. And you know, so as we're getting a fuel, because we don't use, you know, land that you can grow food crops on, so we can use this type of land that's been devastated, restore it, and because we're not using it for food, we can use it for fuel, no problem. In terms of, so that's what we're focused on right now primarily. However, there are other forms of biomass from algae, seaweed, agricultural waste, even animal waste. We can take and use all these different things, nuts that have, you know, the shells that have been crushed, you know, there's a lot of things like that, coconut hulls and things like that. But in terms of algae specifically, algae is good, better for biodiesel. We can use algae, but it's better for use in biodiesel. That actually there is a something like anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 gallons of biodiesel that can be produced from, you know, I think it's maybe like one acre or one hectare of algae that's grown. So that's really outstanding. Where I think with the corn, it's something very low. It's below 30 gallons an acre per corn. So really not an efficient process there. And with algae, you don't compete for land resources if it's, you know, grown in a certain fashion. So I know a lot of activity is going on there for algae, so we can do that, but it's not as inefficient. We use more from the sea. We use a seaweed as opposed to algae. Seaweed grows something like 20 times faster than, depending on the species, most land plants, and so there's something like almost a 30% dry weight of the seaweed. So, you know, there's an incredible amount of biomass that can be gotten from that, even in terms of the dry weight itself. So that's what we focus on in terms of any aquatic species.
One of the things that I'd like to bring in here is my understanding of your paradigm is that you're basically replacing, you know, coal-fired plants for power are the probably largest polluters on the planet, and you could take any one of those plants, replace the coal feed with this biomass-based product, which burns without smoke, without odor, is almost completely non-polluting. You could turn a power plant, a coal power plant, into a renewable, clean plant. And so let's talk about that for a minute as to, you know, you mentioned on your site that this could completely replace coal. So it's not like you have to have 50% coal, 50% this product. You
right.
can actually go 100% this product with no retrofit required.
Yes. That's a very great question. Let me just back up a little bit and just tell you about how we came to that. New Earth, our company is, we were basically, we started really as a grassroots think tank, you know, of all things. And we, and the reason why that's important is because we were looking at the issues concerning global warming, and I really encourage every person on this planet to really look at that, because we're really in a serious situation as it relates to that as a human species. But what we did is we were looking at many of the issues around global warming, and we asked ourselves, well, what are the main issues that people aren't doing anything about? And so we as we were going through it, and we have, you know, a lot of different people in our group, you know, from scientists, engineers, inventors, you know, students, just, you know, artists, a whole bunch of different types of people. You know, I think everyone can help and do something. So we saw that really nothing was being done on coal. And coal is really the number one issue. It's the number one cause of global warming. It's the single biggest issue. And no one was doing anything about it. Even to this day, I still say, you know, bar our company, there's just really very little being done about it. And, you know, and Einstein makes that statement that, you can't solve a problem by the same minds that created it, or something to that effect. And so when you look at what's being done with coal, look, the answers are coming from the same people who created the problem. And their answers are simply, well, let's tweak our machines, let's do some type of retrofitting, let's do some scrubbers,
let's do some, in the ground.
Yeah, let's do some clean coal technology and pump that stuff in the ground. Now, we already know what happens when you pump it into the atmosphere. Now, do we need to learn the lesson of what will happen by pumping those emissions in the ground? You know, so that's the same mentality that created the problem, which only exacerbates the problem even more later. So, you know, that's just completely unacceptable. So we said, well, what could we do about coal? You know, because that is what's sinking the planet. That is just to deal with coal alone, we could change the ratio of global warming right now if we could just deal with that. And ironically, until we deal with that, we cannot talk about any meaningful change in what's going on with global warming until we actually deal with coal burning, because most of the particle stuff is coming from coal, you know. So anyway, just we really encourage people to take a look at that. So we decided that, you know what, there was a concept that was advanced years ago that was even by the French in like 1930s, and that they were working with some concepts where they were looking at, you know, some coal type of replacements. So we said, well, why don't we go back? Why don't we look at that? Why don't we revamp that? Why don't we see what they did, see what we can do, and see how we could achieve something immediately? And we knew, you know, I'm primarily a businessman, and I knew that in order for this to be successful, we would have to do a number of things. One, we would have to compete with coal pound for pound. Two, it would have to be, and when I'm saying compete with coal, that means it has to have the same amount of energy for basically the same amount of dollars, because in the American industry, business people do not act unless it's really profitable. There's a little different scenario that goes on, say, in Europe, where we currently, you know, sell our biomass to different companies, you know, they're quite further ahead in their commitment to the environment than we are. So it didn't have to be completely profitable in Europe for them to step up and do the right thing. But in America, we knew that going into this, we absolutely had to be competitive with coal from a dollars point of view, from a energy point of view, BTU point of view, and that we basically needed to create a version upgrade, which means that we had to create a product that could that could be used today in any existing power infrastructure, in any existing coal-burning power plant, without any retrofitting, without any needs for new investment or anything like that. That the only thing that we needed to take a product that could go in today into their boilers and be producing clean green energy in basically what is the most polluting way we get energy in this world, and that's coal burning power plants. So we had to be able to give them basically a renewable energy fuel that they could just stick into their boilers that they could either co-fire with coal or that they could totally replace coal. And that was the foundation that we started on. We said, okay, we're gonna make a product that can do all that. That basically will produce energy with none of the polluting side effects. So that's what we did. We tailored and designed a product that could do all of that. And
can you give
so
us some time frames on this? I'm curious as to in milestones. You said that as this think tank, you were asking the question, what are the main issues people are not doing anything about? You
right.
asked that question, and then you came to the question, here's what we need to do. When did you start tackling this?
We started discussing it pretty regularly about 2004, and then in 2005, we decided that we did have some clear direction that something was attainable. And then so about that time until, I would say, early last year, we came up with something, that, could do all of that. We knew we could do it in 2005. We were working on a number of things. So about 2007, we had some solid ideas. And not just with this, but also we have some other technologies that are coming out that will absolutely take care of the whole rising need for renewable energy. But right now, this was the stepping stone. This was the first thing because it uses the existing power infrastructure as opposed to, say, like the wind and the solar. You have to go and create those in remote areas and then tie those into the power grid. This uses the existing power infrastructure.
Yeah. So this is an interim technology using the existing infrastructure to turn what is the biggest problem into a renewable non-problem.
That is correct.
And meanwhile, there's other solutions that can come forward to replace these scenarios
mm-hmm.
with new technologies, and you're also working on that.
We're definitely working on that because that will be the total solution. Our intention is, because we generate so much electricity in this world from coal, you're talking about, I've seen, and the figures are, I've seen some different figures. We're talking about at least 6 billion tons of coal a year we burn in the world. It may be actually twice that amount. So, and in relationship to global warming, we're really only told, most scientists say we only have less than 10 years, but everyone agrees by 2020, that's about it. If we haven't done anything significant to reduce global warming by that time, we're pretty much going to, get hit with, the worst effects of global warming. We won't be able to stop that anymore. Right now, that's all we're dealing with. We're not talking about stopping global warming anymore. It's here. I can see it outside my window.
There's some negative feedback loop stuff that goes on. Once you kick it into play,
mm-hmm.
you really can't turn it around.
If I am understanding you, would you say that again?
I say there's some negative feedback loop consequences that once things get rolling,
mm-hmm.
like a snowball going down the hill,
there's not
a lot you can do to stop it.
Correct.
The polar caps start getting warmer,
mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
start releasing methane. Methane
sure.
is a huge greenhouse gas.
Mm-hmm,
it makes it even warmer.
Right.
And so the feedback loop goes. Without any human contribution, the human contribution is negligible at that point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get these feedback loops going on,
sure.
whether it's going to an ice age or going to a super hot situation.
Right.
we're moving into a point of no return one way or the other.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's exactly the situation. So we know, you know, part of the problem, well, I would say it's the major part of the problem as it relates to action, is people always tend to put the economics before they put just the issue of respect to life. You know, I think Al Gore made that point clear in his film. You know, well, if we have no planet, you know, for profit or gold, then how is that important? So, but at the same time, that's always the issue, and it's the issue generally with the biggest polluters, say America or China. It's always about, well, dollars. We're making money now. Well, how do we stop our machine? You know, blah blah blah. So, we knew that we had to create a product that doesn't allow them to stop their machine. Basically, their money wheel can keep going. It's just, here's the version upgrade. Use this instead. But is that going to be the end-all answer? Of course not. Because someday we have to stop burning fuels, period. We need to really be moving beyond, burning things. It's quite primitive, if you ask me. But you know, at the same time, that's just where we are. So, appreciate, if you will, our mindset in New Earth. It was, okay, well, we'll give them this for now, but we'll work on something else for later. And so the this for now was eco-clean coal, making a biomass that they could stick directly into their boilers without any retrofitting, begin reducing CO2. Our product actually reduces CO2 by 70%. Or more. When you burn a ton of coal, depending upon what type of coal you burn, you put 3.1 to 3.6 tons of CO2 in the atmosphere. When you burn a regular ton of wood, just wood itself, which is considered CO2 neutral, you put 1.8 tons of CO2 in the atmosphere. When you burn our product, EcoClean Coal, because it is wood, but it's wood that has been upgraded and the moisture has been removed, so you don't burn that. That actually adds to a lot of the CO2 in the environment. So by removing all of that and all the organic volatiles, the smoke-forming volatiles, when you use EcoClean Coal, you put 0.95, 82, whatever the remaining numbers are, of a ton of CO2. So you actually put less than a ton of CO2 into the atmosphere, which is a part of the natural CO2 cycle. So it's better to use this than it is even to use wood, because we remove the organic volatiles out of that, and you just have the super clean.
Plants,
say again?
So the coal plants going to EcoClean Coal not only stop contributing to an increased output of CO2, but they actually contribute to a net decrease by 0.95 by factor of 0.9582 or whatever it is, so that you're actually starting to diminish the amount of CO2 on the planet.
Exactly, and that's one of the key points to really be understood by any coal-burning power plant, is because, and I say that is because I meet with a lot of different utilities, in the U.S., in Europe, different places around the world. And I will go into a meeting and ask them, okay, so why don't I hear from you guys first? What are you all currently doing? What are your plans to meet the, greenhouse gas reduction levels by 2012, by 2015, by 2020? Just let me hear from you first before I give, I share with you what I have. And I think 98% of the people I meet with say they have absolutely no idea how they're going to achieve a significant, meaningful reduction, to meet those targets. So you have to understand that these are people confessing, we don't have any idea how we're going to, reduce the greenhouse gases, but you know what? We still need to keep burning coal. We still need to keep producing energy, You know, it doesn't matter that, you know, we only have a 10-year window. We're still going to keep doing what we're doing. I mean, this is confessedly so. You have CEOs of coal burning or power utilities that also confess that if even clean coal technology works, it's at best 10 to 15 years away. It's not even here today. So just by that, you know, confession, they're saying that, you know, we won't even meet the 10-year window here. So, you know, it's quite daunting. That's all I can say. So I say that because none of these companies seem to really have an idea. So when I'm able to offer them something that can do that right now without spending a dime on any new investments, with any, you know, without any new technologies being put in place or anything, you just take and, you know, use this version upgrade to your current system.
One of the things that we need to clarify here is the reason you can make that statement that even though EcoClean coal does emit CO2 in the process of burning, the amount of CO2 that is sequestered in the process of growing the crop in the first place,
right,
is more than what is being emitted in the burning process.
Exactly. Because even burning regular wood, just regular wood itself, is twice that. So, you know, you are moving back. Yes.
Well, let's talk for a minute about where you're at in actually creating this stuff. What kind of prototyping have you done? How many units are built? How much product have you created? Who's buying it?
Mm-hmm. Now, some of those questions are a little confidential because,
okay,
you know, there are some companies in the U.S. that we're working with that, you know, I think all the companies we work with were really under non-disclosure agreements. So some of them don't want there are names out there, you know, but I can tell you we are working with some American companies, like to be working with more, but there's one or two that have completely stepped up to the plate. There's more like 98% that are out there that have not, you know, so anyone who's listening, you know, knock on your, you know, your, if you see a coal burning power plant, knock on their door and tell them there is a solution, you know. So, there are some, and then in Europe, we're actually shipping now. We're shipping this year to different utilities also in Europe that have jumped on board, saw that, you know, the value of what we had to offer, and a lot of companies are really, really serious about making some positive changes. So we are doing that, you know.
On our website, put down that you've created 20,000 tons so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're actually going to be shipping that to a, you know, again, I can't really go too much, but we're shipping that to a company, and they're going to. The beautiful thing about that is that we're going to. Most of the time, our EcoClean coal has just been co-fired with coal,
mm-hmm,
and so. What that means is that a coal-burning power plant, they don't completely stop burning coal, but they mix our EcoClean coal with their regular coal. And what they can do, generally, companies like to mix it in either a 10% ratio, that's the minimum we suggest, but there are some companies that, you know, it has been burned in a 20% ratio. And all the results show that there's no negative effects on the equipment or the boilers, anything like that. Everything is good, and it's something that can be used, you know, on a long-term, consistent basis. The unique thing about this new opportunity is that we are going to be doing 100% project with. And that's one thing about Change in America is that, you know, a lot of times we wait to the last minute to make a change. But when we do make a change, you know, watch out. It's like, bam, you know, it's a huge change. You know? So, you know, God bless America for that. But so this is the unique thing about the project that we're doing right now, is that we're actually working to create a 100% burn with EcoClean coal. No coal, no dirty coal, just pure biomass, so that the results are undisputable. You know, it works. It doesn't affect any coal-burning power plants equipment. And, you know, there it is. So once people begin seeing that and they know that there is a solution out there and it's real, and I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do any retrofitting. I don't have to spend any money. I can just plug this in today and begin reducing our CO2 and greenhouse gas emissions. You know, we can start now making the types of changes and transitions, you know, to meet that 10-year window. Because if we don't move now, I mean, it's pretty much over.
One of the things on your website, as I was reading through your brochure and preparing our feature page about this technology at PezWiki.com, I saw some mixed messages, would be the best way to say it, mm-hmm. in terms of the cost we're looking at to compete with coal. Sometimes it seems like one place there was a projection of half the total cost of coal, and you gave an itemization of here are the things that you have to take into consideration
correct.
On the cost of coal.
Mm-hmm.
And you itemized those, and you said that it's estimated that coal would cost $100 per ton, was it?
Well, actually, there were studies done by some prominent economists, and they asked the question, how much does coal really cost to burn it? And the reason they did is because everyone constantly says, well, coal, you know, coal is the cheapest fuel out there, and it's actually not.
Yeah, it's usually the benchmark for, you know, the coal-powered electricity is usually considered the cheapest source of energy, and that's what we compare renewables to, say, well, it's twice as expensive as coal, or it's half. We're projecting to be half the cost of coal, and that's what we use as our benchmark. It's kind of the, you know, it'd be nice if we had a clean benchmark.
I think that, you know, with programs like yourself, you can help to initiate that, and that's really what I'm, you know, postulating right now, is that a lot of different people looking at this issue are saying, we really need to revise how we're looking at this. Why? Because when you look at coal and you just look at the burning of coal, even that is wrong, because most companies, especially in America, they have all these other externalities that they have to factor into the equation when they burn coal. So, for example, if you look on the website, you'll see that there are all these emission charges that they have when they burn coal. There are pollution control equipment, you know, that you put in when you burn coal. And then there are even more externalities that a community has to bear when coal is being burnt in their community. Now, if you look at that, the price of coal is actually more like $300 a ton. If you just look at what a coal-burning power plant pays, depending upon the type of coal that they're using, and if they are if they are up to the EPA regulations and things like that, there's all these extra things that they would have to do. So they would have to install scrubbers. Well, what's the cost of a scrubber? Scrubbers are like a minimum of $200 million. You know, that's just for one unit. And then you've got the cost of running it. You've got the materials needed for it. For example, to run a scrubber, 8% of that power plant's electricity goes into their pollution control equipment, like a scrubber. That's a huge amount of their profits, their revenue, that goes into just running machinery to keep the sulfur or the SO2 from going into the environment when they're burning coal. So that's a cost that must be factored in. So when you look at that, the economists have said, well, actually, it looks like it's more like $150 to burn one ton of CO2, that a company is actually paying $150 for every ton of coal that they're burning, you know, to keep all these other things from entering the atmosphere, which they have to do according to law.
What's the number that they typically cite without taking into consideration these all the total costs of coal, especially the external costs, you know, the health ramifications that they're not going to put on their bottom line?
Sure, they're not, but they should. But however, just to entertain your question, just to burn, you know, it depends upon what kind of coal that you're burning. There's lignite, sub-bituminous, bituminous, and anthracite coal. Now, we create a product that can replace all four categories of coal or be co-fired in all four categories. So with lignite, which is the brown coal, it's a very, very dirty kind of coal. That's pretty cheap, actually. There's a lot of companies that have land or have mine-to-mouth operations, and they can just take the coal from their mines, and you know how devastating that is to the earth, but they can just take it, throw it in their boilers. That's somewhere from, if it's a mine-to-mouth operation, it could be as low as $10, even sometimes it's cheaper than that, a ton. If they have to, when you bring in the cost of transportation, which most companies have to, it's upwards of $30 to $40 for the lignite, and it can be as high as $50 if they're trucking it from, or if they're railing it from afar. Then when you get into your bituminous, you know, types of coal, your, you know, Central Appalachia coal, things like that, it could be as high as $80 to $90. Just for the price of the coal delivered. These are the real costs that a company pays. Then when you add on the other pollution control equipment, that really must be factored in because that is what that company pays to burn that coal. It's not a cost they can get around anymore. Some are, but most have, you know, a great many companies have complied. So when you look at it from that point of view, the total initial cost, we'll say, not including the externalities upon the community, but the total initial cost that do go into their bottom line calculations is anywhere from $130, $150 a ton, easily. And so when you look at the price of EcoClean coal, when you don't, you know, our product, you don't need any of that. You don't need any pollution control equipment because it's smokeless, it's odorless. It has 30%, or it has 70% or more less actual CO2, less than even just wood itself. That when you burn it, it goes into the atmosphere. It's over a 70% reduction of CO2 per ton. You just don't need any of the pollution control equipment. There's no fly ash. There's no water pollution. If you're using it 100%, you can actually, once you burn it, you can take and use the ash for fertilizer. It's an excellent fertilizer. It's totally sustainable. So it's a way for even companies to avoid wasting money on pollution control equipment. And then when you add into the cost of, or add into the equation, the extra benefits of the carbon credits and other offsets that a company will receive as a result of using that, of the EcoClean coal, then a company ends up spending, if you look at the total cost, they will end up spending, it's half the price of what they spend for coal, especially the Central Appalachia or stuff like that. When you look at just a dollar per dollar, it's comparable. It's oftentimes maybe $2 or $3 within the true price of coal.
On this chart you have on your brochure, you say the final cost of coal is 70 or above, and the off-the-shelf cost of EcoClean coal is $68. So, you know, you're on a parity there.
Yeah.
And then you're arguing that there's other costs that you add to that to go way above that for coal, and benefits and credits that you can get for the EcoClean coal that drop that price, so that at the end of the day, the net cost, taking all things into consideration, is you're paying half as much as you would for coal, for eco-clean coal.
That is correct. And as we see a cap-and-trade system put in place, for example, in Europe, they have a very strong carbon credit market going on. So with many of our customers, for example, you get 3 carbon credits for every ton of coal that you replace with New Earth Eco Clean coal, because the carbon credits are the system is based upon for every ton of CO2 that you keep out of the environment or that you can pull out of the environment, you get a carbon credit for that. Well, when you look at our product, the basic understanding is that because wood is CO2 neutral and you're not adding to any new CO2 being put into the environment, then the whole 3 tons of CO2 that would be put there from coal is switched out, so you actually get 3 carbon credits for that. That's the acceptable understanding in a lot of the different European markets. So what is the price of a carbon credit? Right now, the price of a carbon credit is somewhere around $33 U.S. So you get 3 carbon credits. A company gets 3 carbon credits for replacing coal with eco-clean coal. So they actually get, close to $100 in carbon credits. And if your fuel, like the cost of the fuel landed is $110, well, they're actually only paying $10 for fuel. And then when you add in other offsets that they get, because there are other offsets that they get in Europe, which if we would move on that in America, we would see that same type of system here, which pays these groups to really become sustainable. And so they're taking advantage of it in Europe. And in some cases, some of our customers are actually end up getting fuel for free, because the carbon credits and the other offsets pays them to do that, and they still end up sticking a few dollars in their pocket just for going sustainable.
Uh-huh. Let's talk for a minute about the complexity or lack of complexity in the equipment that is required to make these pellets, to produce these pellets, because obviously down the road, 5 years from now, for example, you're not going to be having just one plant in one location on the planet, then shipping these things all over. You're going to want to locate these things regionally, perhaps even locally.
Right.
Would you envision eventually having one of these plants in conjunction with each power plant?
Well, actually, that's what we're doing now. That's the most cost-effective way to do it in America. So most of the companies that we're talking to, New Earth is really in the process of providing them with total solutions for sustainability, so that there is the plant located right there, so that we can eliminate the cost of transportation and other costs, operational costs, and really get immediately the price of 1 ton of EcoClean coal to be exactly the price of coal itself, or even lower, and you get your carbon credits, so that then at the end of the day, through a program like this, if you are paying, say, $50 for a ton of coal, you're paying $50 for a ton of eco-clean coal. That's the cost, because everything is there locally, and then you get your 3 carbon credits to boot. Carbon credits right now, say, are $6. Or $4 to $6, and we're going to see that going up as time goes on. So, you're talking about seeing the actual cost of biomass, very, very, very attractive in the, the high $30, low $40 area. It's more attractive than coal, and now you're not polluting. You don't need all this your company doesn't need to spend $200 to $400 million to buy a scrubber. So, these are huge costs. It's a very, very, very attractive program, and it can start solving the issues today. Now, no technology that exists out there today can really take and deal with the CO2 issue. Even the scrubbers themselves only deal with the sulfur, There's some things that deal with the mercury, but there's really nothing that deals with CO2. So there's nothing, no technology that really, for a coal-burning power plant, that deals with CO2. This is the only thing that gives you a 70% reduction in your CO2 and all greenhouse gas emissions, actually. So just want to make that clear. You know, this is it. And the other thing is that when you burn eco-clean coal, because all the pollutants, the whole paradigm shift needs to be understood, is that, with coal, they're trying to take coal and burn it and then catch the pollution before it enters the atmosphere, which is not very intelligent. But when you remove the pollutants first, you start with a clean burning fuel and then you remove what remains in any natural forming pollutants, you essentially just have this super clean burning fuel.
You make the point in your brochure that coal comes from biomass anciently.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you've done is, in the process of forming the coal, you've taken out the pollutants in the product because you have the technology, we have the know-how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same product, essentially, you're putting in the burner,
mm-hmm.
But the difference is that you've removed the pollutants on the front end rather than the back end.
Absolutely. That's significant because a lot of people who are at the decision-making process in these coal-burning utilities, they don't really understand, well, how does it work? So we make the point that the reason why coal and other forms of biomass are so compatible is because that's all coal is. Coal is just biomass from millions of years ago. It's wood and algae. It's from forests that, basically decayed then, depending upon the particular age it was in. And, as dirt and other things went over it and it decayed and it transformed itself into coal. But all of that was just originally biomass, So why the reason we burn coal is the same reason we burn wood. There's an energy component in coal, and it's the exact identical energy component in wood. We burn it for the carbon aspect of it, but it's a very inefficient way of burning carbon, or actually getting the energy from a source, because when you burn coal, it has all these other pollutants that were trapped in it as it, transformed itself, over the millions and millions of years. So
just a couple minutes here. I want to get something in here
okay, sure.
before we conclude.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, your website is newearth1.net.
That is correct. So that's newearth1.net.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is I want to get a picture of one of the points of criticism that one of the New Energy Congress members brought up in mm-hmm. regard to this technology was it would never be able to be implemented 100% across the board on all coal plants because you would have limits on the amount of biomass and it would start driving up costs of food and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this technology, if you had one of these eco-coal developers or producers
mm-hmm.
on site with each coal power plant, is there enough organic material locally that is sustainable that all existing coal plants and future coal plants
mm-hmm.
would be able to be sustained
mm-hmm.
with their local produce without eating into fuel or eating into food without getting into other problems?
Sure, sure. Yeah, and that's a great question. I think I actually responded to one of those gentlemen with the comments. But as you recall or may recall, I began stating that earlier, we don't compete with food crops. We don't do any of that. So to answer your question,
you
don't yes.
now, but I'm saying if this was rolled out.
If it was rolled out, it is, yes, it's possible to do this in a sustainable fashion where we could take care, I would say, of most. We never made the case that we could do it all, but we could take care of most in a sustainable fashion. But also, I don't think that's the way to go. I think it's a way to reduce immediately the emissions so that we can keep the coal-burning power plants, which do produce so much of our electricity. We can't take them off, or else we would reduce ourselves to something of a Stone Age, which we may actually end up doing in no time. But we could do that.
The low-hanging fruit would be the biggest polluters that are in jeopardy of being shut down because they're polluting so much.
Exactly. So I just want to answer your question definitively, yes, but at the same time, we're not just pulling from a wood crop at these things. We can use natural things that get produced, like agricultural waste. We can also use animal waste. Animal waste is a huge, huge issue that we don't give a lot of attention to, especially when it comes to cows. There's so much of the manure produced by cows, and there's the same carbon, you know, energy content. They even burn cow manure in India for fuel. But if you process it, where you're just like the same thing you're doing with the wood, you're just taking the carbon from it, and then you're letting everything, all the other organic volatiles out of it go, then you end up with this very clean burning fuel again. So you can do it with algae, seaweed, coconut hulls, wood, animal waste, agricultural waste, you name it. We can recycle waste and plant sustainable short rotation copies or the type of energy crops. Because you wouldn't, and we can plant that near the power plants, because you're not going to farm near the power plants. But you can plant this type of things near the power plants, so they have a feedstock that
right.
they can take you and
do.
Use at any
and
given
I need
time.
To interrupt here. We are out of time.
Okay.
But I do appreciate all the stuff that you've been able to bring up in this session. It's been great talking to you, Ahava. We've
My
been
pleasure.
Talking to Ahava Amin of New Earth Renewable Energy Inc. They have EcoClean Coal, which is set forth to replace all coal that is going into coal plants for energy, replacing it with a clean, renewable source. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, John. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information.